Good morning. I want to welcome you into the worship service this morning. Glad you've made your way here. We had an excellent Sunday school lesson this morning, and hope you did as well. You just set your feet under God's table. I got a couple announcements, but I need four ushers to go ahead and make their way up front, please, if you would, so we'll be prepared to take up the offering. Okay.
Lori just told us over in Activity Building, they're flying her dad to Morgantown to the hospital. And there was no hospital beds in Charleston, and he's got bleeding ulcers, so it's very dangerous for him. So she said, please pray for her.
Lori Bumpus, right? Yeah. Lori Bumpus. Lori Bumpus' dad, okay? So let's just go ahead and go to prayer for him, okay? Let's just go ahead, and those that would like to gather up front here at the altar, let's just go ahead and let's pray for that situation right now. Thank you. I appreciate that. Glad we have the freedom to do that. We don't have anything set in concrete here other than we're here to serve others and worship the Lord. So. All right. Couple of announcements. Tiffany, if you'd go ahead and make your way up. Tiffany has an announcement. While she's coming, I'd like to make this announcement. We have been asked, and this is in your bulletin, we've been asked to support the Allen's Fork Food Pantry. And the need this month is cans of pumpkin and cans of cranberry sauce. And evidently, that's nobody's bringing in cans of pumpkin and cans of cranberry sauce. Tony said that there's not going to be very many pumpkin pies this month if we don't get involved. Okay? So the deadline is next week. All right? So if you're not going to be at the store this week or not going to be, I know the stores are, there's not very many around. So if you're not going to be by a store this week to pick up some pumpkin or some cranberry sauce, you can just give Greg, or not Greg, but Tony, the money. If you'd like to, you know, just fork out a little bit, a donation, and he'll pick them up this week. So let's help out. Okay, let's help out if we can. And like I say, if you can bring it in next week, please do so. But they need cans of pumpkin and cans of cranberry sauce, or just give a monetary donation to Tony Lewis, and he'll be sure and take care of that. All right.
This Friday night is our YMCA night. It's going to be at the Charleston YMCA from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. And a lot of people think that's for the teenagers or the kids, but it's not. It's for the whole church. So anybody who wants to come out, either watch the kid people play or play yourself, we invite everybody to come, bring friends. It is Everything that's at the YMCA is available to us except the weight room. So we have the pool, the tennis courts, racquetball, volleyball. They're going to set up indoor soccer, also basketball, and they said they have dodgeballs that they can let us play dodgeball games and things like that. So definitely bring everybody that you know. The church has paid for the renting of the facility. However, YMCA does still charge $3 a person to get in, and that will be your cost. So they'll be collecting that whenever you come through the door. We ask that everybody bring a 2 liter of pop, and then also if our church can bring desserts, that would be great. We're going to provide pizza. There are two or three other churches that are also going to participate with us, but basically we are the biggest bulk that's coming. They may only have 10 or 20 coming from their churches, but we're trying to invite anybody in the community, you know, to come out and enjoy it with us. Again, it's the entire facility, so bring everybody that you know, and remember that it's $3 to get in. It's this Friday night from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m., and if you have any questions, you can give me a call or text me or see me after church. But all the kids should have been bringing these home on their papers, or the teenagers would be carrying them the last 2 weeks. So be, all the information's on this also.
All right. We're going to worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. Brian Miller, would you pray, please?
Father God, we're truly thankful for another day of life, thankful for the opportunity to enter your household.
Amen.
All you did before is your people, Lord, just give us the help we need here, Lord. In all these days, Lord, to bless this offering that we use to come to your glory. In Christ's name.
Amen.
Come into his house, gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into his house, gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into his house, gathered in his name. Christ the Lord, worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. So forget about yourself, concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself, concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself, concentrate on Him and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Christ the Lord. Let us lift up holy hands and magnify His name and worship Him. Let us lift up holy hands, magnify His name and worship Lift up holy hands and magnify His name and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord.
Thank you. your hymnal, turn to 196 as the choir goes down. Lori's going to sing for us this morning.
When with the Savior we enter the glory land, won't it be wonderful there? Ended the troubles and cares of the story land, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with heart bells all ringing, oh, won't it be wonderful there? Walking and talking with Christ the Supplier, no one, won't it be wonderful there? Praising, adoring the matchless eternal one, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with heart bells all ringing, oh, won't it be wonderful
since I've been up here, so be with me. This song that I'm going to sing today is called Give Thanks with Gratitude. And when I heard that terminology, I thought, what's the difference between thanks and gratitude, and how do you give thanks with gratitude? So it led me on a word search, and just the way my mind works, I rumble all over a million different topics when something catches my attention. And so I started looking up what give thanks with gratitude might mean, and I heard I read a comment that thanksgiving is something that you say with your mouth, but gratitude is something that you live. And it made me think about Philippians, where Paul is talking about how he learned to be content in every circumstance, whether it's a good circumstance or a bad circumstance. And in my margin, I had written at some point that we're not born with contentment. We have to learn it. It's something that we have to practice. And to practice it, you have to practice being thankful no matter what. And if in our bad circumstances we learn to say thank you to God and to live thank you to God in gratitude, then we learn to be content and can make it through any of those highs or lows of life. So finding contentment in any circumstance.
Send some rain, won't you send some rain? 'Cause the earth is dry and needs to drink again, and the sun is high and we are sinking in the shade. Would you send a thunder long and loud, let the sky grow black and send some mercy down. Surely you can see that we are thirsty and afraid. But maybe not, not today. Maybe you provide in other ways, and if that's the case, we'll give thanks to you with gratitude. A lesson learned in how to thirst for you, how to bless the very sun that warms our face if you never send us rain. Daily daily bread, give our cups and fill them up again. Fill our cups.
Bless you. Amen. All right. We're ready for the word. I'm going to ask Pastor Aaron if he would come. Dana, would you stand and ask God's anointing on the message this morning?
I have any tin pigs for you. Truly, it is a privilege to be here this morning. I thought, as you know, we look the congregation over, we see, you know, this morning we seems like, where's our young people? But they're all in contemporary and kids' church this morning, so we're thankful that that we have those working with our young people. There is one person I'd like to recognize. Well, there's some different people I'm going to recognize later on, but I'd like to recognize a young lady that is with us this morning. Sometimes we don't realize what a privilege it is to have someone with you. And I'd like to recognize all of you because you all are a blessing to me. But this young lady drives herself to church every Sunday morning. And a couple weeks ago, she turned 99. And I'd like for Sister Newhouse to stand. Now, I hope that I get close to that. If I make it to 80, you know, I'm satisfied. But to be 99 and God give you that blessing to be able to come, one of these days we won't have her. We won't have a lot of us. And it may not be long. So I think it's very important that we cherish the times that we have together in God's house. And I don't think there's anybody else here that's 99, is there? I recognize you too, but I know some of you look at me and you say, man, he's getting close to 99. I know, just looking at him, but... But I thought, what a privilege it is to have her with us. And I know in the past we used to recognize birthdays, and we decided not to do that. But I think after you reach a certain age, we need to recognize everybody every Sunday. But I'm thankful for this privilege this morning. And since we fell back last night... and we got an extra hour. I know you won't get hungry for another hour and a half, so we'll be here a while. And in regard to that, I brought my lunch so that everybody know what this is? Well, it's empty right now. This was my milk jug, and still is, but it's empty now. I want to talk about milk and meat this morning. And I thought, when you go to the grocery store and you approach your milk section, what are you looking for when you get there? What's the first thing? Huh? Type? What was the other one? Date? And price. There you go. Y'all got all three of them. Now, why are you concerned about the type? Is milk, isn't it? Well, you got skim milk. You got 1%, 2%, I guess it goes right on up the line. And you got the whole milk. Now, you might be on a diet that requires you to use certain things. Or if you're baking or whatever, you might be required to use whole milk. It's just a lot of different things. But when you get in, let me ask you this. How much time do you spend in the milk section? Not very long. Why? You know what you want, you get it, and go. Okay? It's also cold there, isn't it? So we don't spend a lot of time selecting the milk that we drink. We know what we want, we know what kind we want, But the critical thing is what's on top of it there. That date. Why is the date important? Well, yeah. When you drink 3 or 4 gallons a day, it doesn't matter. That's right. But if you're in our house, you know, if we get something that's 2 days down the road, we're going to look for something a little further. Any of you ever dig back in there and pull out the back one? They put the newest dates in the back because they want to get rid of that old milk. What happens to milk when it gets old? It spoils, it gets sour, and if you open the lid, what does it do? It stinks. It smells terrible. Okay. Now, how many in here remember when they used to deliver milk to your house? Did anybody in here have milk delivered to your house? How did they deliver it? They were in glass jugs, weren't they? They weren't plastic back then. They were glass, and I can remember them sitting on my front porch. Of course, I was just real little back then. I mean, when you go back that far. But I can remember, you know, my fear was breaking those. I'd like to carry them in for Mom, but I was afraid I'd break them because they were. Now, so let me go back a step further. How many in here have ever milked a cow?
Aaron, I carried mine from the barn, not the back porch.
You milked it in the barn and carried it to the house. Several of you did. Put it in the 10-gallon can, carried it in.
No. Sold.
Oh, you sold it. Okay. How many in here have ever been a dairy farmer? 2, 3, 4, 5. I thought of all the occupations, dairy farming would probably be my last. Anybody have an idea why? How many days a week do you work on a dairy farm? How many hours a day? It just goes, you get up at what, 3 or 4 o'clock and do the first milking, then you milk them again in the evening, and then you're cleaning the barn. I mean, it's a full-time, 24/7. So, but do you know that in the world, that milk is very important? Let's go. Well, we've gone back to where we milked them ourselves. We've gone back to where they brought and delivered it to our house. And we've gone to the store where we buy it each day. But do you ever think of where it comes from? Or do you just go in, pick up a gallon of milk, go home? We never think. It's kind of like oftentimes it's the blessings that God gives us. What do we often not do? Never stop to think of the blessings He gives us each day. And when you think about the milk, it's mentioned about 42 times in the Old Testament. It's talking about the different animals. How many in here drink dairy milk? Y'all don't even go to the store, do you? You don't even know where it comes from. That's where it comes from. Comes from a dairy. It still comes from a dairy. There's people out there working to provide that for you. But, you know, we don't think about a lot of things. We don't think about the blessings that God gives us. I believe it was two weeks ago, I got up Sunday morning to get ready to come to church, and I couldn't walk. I had so much pain in my legs, I had to hold on to something to get around the house. I thought, what's bringing this on? Because it just came on all of a sudden. But it really made me appreciate the days that I can get up and walk. I thought, you know, all these things were going through my mind, and this wasn't even what I was going to do here, but that's okay. But all these things were going through my mind, and I thought, I'm going to have to get me one of them scooters just to get around the house. And maybe I could keep up with Susie if I had a scooter. I can't keep up with her now, but I thought of that, and I began to think, God, I need your help. I can't walk. My brother-in-law used to sing a song in a group we sang with a long time ago. And the title of it was, Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. And when we realize that, we realize the importance of God in our lives. That's when things can start taking place for us. I went Monday morning, I got up, and it was worse. And so I went downstairs, and I can work from the house now some, and I'd start on that, and it was hurting so bad I had to just get away from that too. But as the day went on, it got worse. And I told Susie, I said, I almost called you and told you to call an ambulance to take me out of here. But instead I texted her and I said, please pray for me. And anyway, by the time she got home, it had eased down enough. And the next morning I got up and I was able to go to work. And believe me, I was so appreciative of that. I was going to call her and tell her to stop down here at the church and get me a walker. That's how bad I hurt. But you know, we take for granted every morning getting up and getting out of the bed. And what I'm saying about the milk, how many of you drink milk in the morning or get you a bowl of cereal or something? We all probably do from time to time. But I thought, you know, the first thing we should think up when we get think of in the morning is when we get up is, Lord, thank you. Thank you that I'm able to get up. Now, until you get down, sometimes we're just like that. We don't even know where our milk comes from. We don't know that it comes from a dairy. There are 750 million people in the world who are harvesting milk. The milk that we get is primary dairy milk from the cows. If you go to India, the primary milk there is buffalo or is goat milk. And other countries have sheep milk. But I'm just saying, let me ask you this. Have you ever gone to the grocery store to get milk and there was none on the shelf? How did you feel? Huh? Yeah. And that's when it happens quite frequently, when the snow comes out. The milk and the bread disappear. I don't know, but people have got to have milk and bread when the snow falls. But I've thought, you know, and oft times when I see that on the shelf or don't see it on the shelf, I begin to think how thankful we should be as a country. There are countries that, as Pam used to carry her milk to the house, they're still carrying their milk to the house. And they don't have a whole lot other to eat. But we can go to a store and buy whatever we want, can't we? We can buy the milk, we can buy the meat, we can buy anything in between. But I thought, you know, in the scripture, well, I want to go one other place before I do that. We've gone to the dairy, we've gone to the delivery, but how many in here has ever seen a picture on a milk carton? What did that symbolize? A missing child. I looked that up, and it said that back in 1979, a young man went missing. A little boy went missing. And dairy farmers got together, and they decided, or the dairy producers, they decided that they would start putting pictures of missing children on there, so hopefully that when we pick up a jug of milk, you know, we can look and we can see that. Maybe we've seen that little boy. But I thought what was so strange about what they did on that first little boy, it was 6 years later before they put his picture on there. But they did that for approximately 5-6 years. It didn't last very long. And I thought, but, you know, I wasn't going to go here right now, but I'm going to go ahead and go here. You know what I started to put on this milk jug was my picture. But what I was really thinking about was the words missing. People who are missing in our church. Maybe we ought to do that. Maybe we ought to just take milk jugs, put their picture on there, and just put missing on them and set them out there. Or set them on the altar. You know, we need to pray for these people. It came up in Wednesday night about, you know, we're so proud of our young people that are working here now and the things that they're doing, the teachings that they're doing, everything that they're doing working with young people. But we've had a lot of young people come through here that are missing. They're not here anymore. And I don't know. That was just my thought, that maybe we need to go back to the milk jug or the milk carton and put people who are missing in our congregation. You leave it up to us as pastors to try to keep up with everyone. But whose job do you think it is for us? And Greg taught on it this morning in his lesson. Whose job is it for us to take care of our brothers and sisters? It's all of us. Now, I want you to think about this. If each one here could contact one person that's missing, look at what we've reached out to. So, and it's very important because a lot of people leave and no one calls them or checks on them. And I know Al does and Jimmy does. And we try to do this as much as we can. But if we had your help, we would have to be sitting out chairs in here again. But there's a lot of people missing. But I thought about this milk. And in the scripture, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. This is Peter writing to the early church. He's writing to people and telling them what they need in their lives. My Bible has this written right before the second chapter. It says growth. And I want to talk about that in just a minute too. Listen to what it says here in the first three verses. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. Greg, I didn't know you was going to talk about it in the lesson this morning, but that's fine. We'll reiterate right now. We have that tendency sometimes in our church, and Greg mentioned it in the lesson this morning, that if somebody's down, we have a tendency to, you know, just knock them on down and kick them while they're down. But listen to what he says. Wherefore, laying aside, that means doing away with, all malice, all guile, and hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speakings. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have that the Lord is gracious. What's the most important thing in a young baby's life? Milk. Why is milk so important? I had a young man visit my office this week. He's 6 months old. And he came by, and what do they judge a child on when he's starting to grow? Huh? Weight? Height? They have these points, is that what they call them? or guides of where a child is in his growth cycle. And I thought, you know, here he is. He came to my office, and I was really interviewing him for a job. I thought maybe he might step up or get the others to step up if I brought him on. But I thought, you know, here he was. He was getting ready to go to the doctor. And he was going to the doctor, and they were going to do these things to see how he's doing. He was going to get some shots and some of that. But he just turned 6 months old. And I thought, you know, at what point did you start giving your child hard food? Not hard food, but food besides milk. Anybody remember? This is an old bunch, isn't it? That's a long time ago for me to ask that question. Some of them are young, some of them start younger. But what's the most important thing? Why do they stress? And again, I hadn't planned to do this, but why do they stress breastfeeding children? Antibiotics. Antibiotics are built into that, what's it called? Colostrum. It's built into that. So for a child to get a good start, if they're breastfed, if you're able to do that, some people can't do that. But if you're able to do that, you're jump-starting your child. Now I want you to think about part of being a Christian. What do we need to do for young Christians? We need to jump-start them, don't we? We need to feed them a good diet of God's Word. Now, there's a point in time when we go from milk to meat. Now, let's look at this next scripture. 1 Corinthians 3, chapter 1. I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, if you'll turn there with me. 1 Corinthians 3, and I want to read these first three verses. Paul was writing to a young church at Corinth. He was wanting them to, what do we want our children to do? Let me go back there. What do we want them to do after they're born? Grow. We want that good milk in them. We want that good, anything we got that'll help them grow. We want that to be in there to them so they'll have every opportunity. So we want them to grow. As young Christians, we want you to grow. We want to give you as much milk as we can. And this is what he said. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envyings and strife and divisions, and ye are carnal and walk as men. You remember what Peter said, put aside. Put aside that envy and strife. Put aside that we may begin to grow. If we're envying and we're striving, we want milk. Why do we not give babies steak to eat? They can't digest it. It'll choke them to death. And sometimes as young Christians, you know, we try to put too much on a young person. And they may choke to death on that. It may cause them to see. Another place in the scripture, it talks about novices. You know, when we go to select our officers, our teachers, and whoever might be involved that we're looking for. The scripture tells us not to take on a novice. What is a novice? In your an inexperienced, and we think of it as being what? An inexperienced fighter. A novice boxer. You've heard of the novice boxers. I had a friend one time who was a pretty good novice boxer. And he decided that he was going to enter the Golden Gloves. Or not the Golden Gloves. Yeah, it was the Golden Gloves. and he got a fight, and he got another novice boxer his first time out, and very successful. Next time he come up, the boxer he was facing was a state policeman. And about the same height, same weight, pretty equal on that. But he was not a novice, as you would say. He had a lot of street fighting in him. But what happened was he was knocked out in the first minute of the thing, even though he was a good fighter. So it's important for us to realize where we are in God's work. Now, God does not want 99-year-old novices. I mean, he does want you, but you're not a novice, is what I'm saying. He does not want us to stay on milk the rest of our life. Now, I've dealt with this for several years on trying to pinpoint what's the difference in milk and meat. Milk is easy to digest. Milk is something that you can readily see, you can learn. And meat is a whole different story. I found my answer in the fourth chapter of the book of John. Turn there with me if you will. The fourth chapter of the book of John. Anybody know what took place in the fourth chapter of the book of John? Anybody found it? Woman at the well. Woman at the well. What was so unusual about this situation? She was a what? Samaritans. Samaritans and Jews did what? They did not get along. And when it came time for Jesus and his disciples to go up back up towards Capernaum, he said, I must needs go through Samaria. Now why would he want to go through the land of the enemy? It's because he knew who was there. Why did he want to come to that service that you got saved in? Because he knew you were there and you needed help. And here it is. He's told her about the water, about how that if she would have asked him, he would have given her water that would be springing up within her. And she would drink from a well that never ran dry. And then what did he begin to tell her? Told her about her life. He knew where she'd been. He knew how many husbands she had. He knew that the one she was living with then was not her husband. And then she realized who he was. And it was her desire to go and tell others, come see a man. Come see a man that's told me everything I did. Is not this the Christ? And I would like, you know, the disciples were concerned about one thing that day. They were concerned about going and getting something to eat. They were concerned about bringing meat. Not necessarily a hamburger or a pork chop or something like that. But back then, meat was known as food. Whatever they had to eat, whether it had been fish, whether it would have been bread, or that was their common diet. But here they went off and they came back. And in the 32nd verse, and let me read 31, it says, in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. They had brought back food to him. And this is what it said. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. And therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Did somebody else come by in one of them vending trucks and drop him off a sandwich? No. This is my answer on what meat is. I believe milk is studying God's Word and studying it with a passion. But there's more to studying God's Word. And I'm going to read you that here in just a minute. But I want to read this first. It says, "But he said unto them, I have meat that you know not of. And the disciples, they were saying, had a man brought him that he ought to eat. And Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work." I'm going to ask you this morning, what is your meat? You say, Aaron, I don't know. I like to study. I want to tell you what your meat should be. Your meat should be the same thing that Christ just said right there. Your meat should be to do the will of your Father. It's not enough just to study. A lot of people have studied their lives away, since ever studying and never coming to the knowledge, never realizing what they're studying about. Turn with me to James. I'm almost finished here. James chapter 1. Very familiar scripture. Verse 22. The meat that you should be producing. You say, well, I eat meat every day. I'm not talking about earthly meat. I'm talking about spiritual meat. The spiritual meat that you should be producing comes in verse 22. It says this, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." You can listen to every tape there is about Christ. You can read every verse that's in the Bible about Christ and about the plan of salvation. And you can come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And that's wonderful. But that's not the end of it. You got to start putting some meat on the table. You ever heard that saying? You know, you got to put meat on the table. What I'm talking about meat is to do. To be a doer of God's Word. Here we read, you know, we want to sit around, we want to drink our milk, we want to go and read a scripture every now and then, but there's more to it. You need to be a doer of God's Word. "But be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self." Ask yourself, I've already asked me, what have I done for the Lord this week? You say, well, I came Wednesday night to prayer meeting. I went to visit this person. But when you think of the scheme of the whole thing, I'm like being in the milk section at the grocery store. I'm just making a quick run by. I'm not focused on what I need to be doing for the Lord. I'm missing something. They ought to put my picture on here. I'm missing doing the will of God. You say, Aaron, you don't do. I try every day, but what I'm saying, how much more should we be doing? We need to. If you've been a Christian for 6 months, that's what we said on a baby, wasn't it? 4 to 6 months, and then you want to start giving them something a little more to do. Then you need to start doing a little more to do. And then as you get older, you know, you want them to do a lot of things. You want them to get up here and sing. That's doing things for the Lord. And on back in Peter, in closing, I want to read this. Third chapter of Peter. The 18th verse. What is the most important thing that we need to see people do in their relationship with Jesus Christ? What is the most important thing we want a baby to do in feeding them milk and good food? We want to see them grow. We want to see them grow. And here this scripture Peter wrote here, he says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever." It's not enough just to come to church once a week. I didn't hear any amens on that. Ouch. It's not enough to come on Sunday morning and Sunday night. It's not enough to come on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and maybe Tuesday if you come to the... That's not enough. You say, Aaron, I'll be here all the time. No, that's not what I'm saying. I want you to be a dairy farmer. You know what a dairy farmer does? He works 24/7. His mind is on getting you milk. Our mind as Christians should be getting those that have accepted Christ. We need to get them growing. We need to get them in a position where they're going out and doing the things. And that's what tickles me to death. I mentioned it Wednesday night. Charlie made me teach for a few minutes. But I mentioned about the young people in our class and how out of our class there has come a preacher. Out of our class there has become teachers. Out of our class there have become teachers who are now teaching even at other churches. And you see them reading and studying a book that we used in our class to teach a lesson. And out of our class has come married couples that are doing missionary work, doing things for the Lord. I'm not bragging on my class. No, I take that back. I am bragging on them. But we all need to be doing this. We all need to be reaching out into a lost and dying world, because one of these days we're going to go to the grocery store and there's not going to be any food there. You say, Aaron, that'll never happen. There's coming a day when man will be crying out to the rocks and the mountains to hide him. They know that God, as He has promised, is coming back. We need to share this with a lost and dying world. In closing, I want to share something with you if you will get ready to sing. 3 years ago, well, I'm going to go back further than that. 15 years ago, I married a young couple here in our church. And I could tell that the husband was rooted in the Word. I could tell he wanted to do. He came to me in the back hallway one Sunday and he said, Aaron, I feel like God has called me to preach. And I thought, that's wonderful. I had the privilege of marrying him, and he married a young lady that I didn't know a whole lot about. But I've witnessed her life over the last 15 years. I've witnessed what she's done for the Lord. 3 years ago, she published a book. It's called Selfless in a Selfie World. That was about the time where everybody was taking selfies of themselves, and I thought she was hitting her right on the head. She has just published her second book. It's called Wisdom for God's Warriors. And I thought, you know, I have as much confidence in her that I told him, I said, I want to use this in our class. Wisdom for God's Warriors. You say, has God blessed them? I believe He has. She is now number 2 on her publisher's bestseller list. And I thought, one Sunday morning, I got up and I was watching Calvin Ray Evans Jr. And when he started, he said, we got a gift we want to give to you this week. And it's called Selfless in a Selfie World. That thrilled my heart. It thrilled my heart that she was planted in God's Word to the point she wanted to put the meat out on the table. She wanted to take it to others. And then a year or so ago, I heard she was writing another one. And I said, I've got all the confidence in the world that it'll be a good one. because she wasn't concerned about Cody. She was concerned about a lost and dying world. She has a blog that she does every day. And I'm not on that, but I've heard and I've seen the things that have been reported. I'm not up here selling books, but I'm up here selling meat. I'm up here showing you what meat is. It's actually going out and doing the will of God. It's actually reaching out into a lost and dying world and telling them about Christ. Giving you wisdom as a warrior, as a Christian. Now, today, I still got an hour and a half, so we're all right. And see, the thing of it today, all of you aren't hungry because you still think it's a different time. It's just now what, 11 o'clock or 15 after 11? So I got you for another 45 minutes and you won't even be hungry. What I want you to be hungry for is the Word of God. What I want you to desire, the sincere milk that He's got for us. But after you've taken of that milk, you've learned His Word, I want you to get off of it and share it with somebody else. Do the will of the Father who sent Christ here to die for our sins. If you're here this morning and you're struggling with something, you say, I feel like God's calling me to do this, but I don't know how to approach it. Talk to Him about it. Maybe you're here this morning and you're one of them SMOs Christians. You don't know what I mean, do you? You know what a SMO Christian is? Sunday morning only. Now, I'm not saying that because I expect you here every service. But I'm saying this. Take a night during the week. If you can't get out here, go visit somebody. Go share the Word. Sister spent how long yesterday or 45 minutes or so with a granddaughter? Yesterday. Talking about the Lord. How many times during the week do you take 5 minutes to talk to somebody about the Lord? Now, you can get mad at me, but there's one concern that I have and that our pastor has, our pastors have, and that you grow. And that you grow in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. So if you're here this morning and you feel like you're not growing, maybe you're drinking too much milk. If you hear that you're not growing, maybe you just have... What's the word when a person starves himself to death? What's that called as a disease? Anorexia. If I were to ask you this morning, are you an anorexic Christian? How many would have to raise their hand? You say, I'm living pretty thin. I'm eating pretty thin, Al. I'm not studying the Word. I'm not doing what I need to do. Maybe you've developed Christian anorexia. You ever think about that? I thought, you know, they say that is a terrible disease. People will stuff themselves and then run to the restroom and make themselves vomit it back up because they're so concerned about their weight. I think we need to be more concerned about our spiritual weight and what we're doing for the Lord. And if we'll just serve Him in a way that He would have us to serve, He'll give us that milk. He'll give us a desire to do above and beyond that which we normally would do. Cody was scared to death when she wrote these first time. But I had confidence in her Christian life that God would bless her and the message would go forth. We've used this one in our class even. But I'm saying this to say to you, whatever God's telling you to do, do it. You remember when they had the wedding feast in Canaan and his first miracle was performed at the wedding feast, what did they say? Whatever he says to you, do it. Just do it. Don't be afraid of what your neighbor's going to say. Your neighbor's lost and going to hell. Be concerned about his soul, not about what he will say back to you, but about his soul. So we need to get the meat out. We need to get busy for the Lord, because I don't believe it's going to be a long time. I don't know that I'll see 99 years. I don't know that any of you will see tomorrow. We need to get busy for the Lord today. I hope we all can grow from this. And you pray that as Greg taught in the lesson this morning, when we see something, we try to help restore that brother and not put him down. So as we stand and as we sing, we invite you to come.
Page 78. There is peace and contentment in the Father's house today. Lots of food on his table, and no one is turned away.
Listen to the words of this.
There is singing and laughter as the hours pass by, but a hush comes the singing as the Father sadly cries. My house is full, but my field is empty. Who will go and work for me today? It seems my children all want to stay around my table, but no one wants to work in my field. No one wants to work in my field. Push away from the table, look out through the window pane. Just beyond the house of plenty lies a field of golden grain. And it's white unto harvest, but the reapers, where are they? In the house, oh, can the children hear the Father sadly say, my house is full, but my field is empty. Who will go and work for me today? It seems my children all want to stay around my table, but no one wants to work in my field. No one wants to work in my field.
Probably have Julie put the site where you can go get that book if you're interested in it. And if you don't have an internet service or whatever, then you can see Sister Pam and she can work it out to help you get one if you'd like to have one. And I think it'll be good for you if you do. So, anyone else have anything before we dismiss?